Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We got a great show lined up for you. The title of tonight's message is Standing Alone in Eternity. You know, it's a frightening thing to die alone. You know, some of the horrors of our society is dying in a nursing home, where your loved ones have packed you off conveniently to get you out of sight and out of mind. But what about having to die and standing before the Creator with no acceptable record or works of faith? Let me give you a scripture here in Jeremiah 6:16. As a warning for all those who have purposed in their heart to seek the kingdom. Or maybe you have made a vow to seek the kingdom. And I feel like that a lot of people tonight have made vows to seek him with their whole heart and have fell among the thorns of the wayside or the cares of this life or the deceitfulness of riches in pursuit of pleasures for our own self, rather than as Moses did, he forsook the pleasures of Egypt and went with a little flock under rigorous persecution and poor existence in the desert. And yet we know that he was resurrected in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, and that Satan even battled the angels over the possession of his body. Must have been very valuable. Are you valuable? Or are you going to stand alone at the threshold of the judgment and eternity and hear him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity," or "you failed to," or "you hid your talent," or "I gave you the command and you didn't keep them," or "you did run well, and what hindered you?" These things are terrifying. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 10, the Bible says, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of the Eternal One, Yahweh." Now, if we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Yahweh, we better make our election and calling sure and take heed, lest thinking we stand, we fall. Make your election and calling sure. Put on the whole armor that you may stand, and after standing, stand, because the trial and the temptation and the persecution that goes with the truth. I ain't talking about a convenient, traditional, seem-right way. I'm talking about a way that will bring you through the narrow gap between the rock and the hard place. I've always said that the highway to heaven leads through hell. Many are the tribulations and the persecutions of the righteous. If you remain faithful, he will deliver you out of them all. But if you fail, the trials and the tribulations and the persecution that await you through the narrow path. We're going to talk about that tonight and what you've done to stand on the issues of standing. You see, the Father has got a way that is a narrow path. Satan has got a way that is a broad path. And many are on the broad path thinking that they're doing God a service, literally, and are serving him, but they serve through the veil of tradition or the veil of flesh or the veil of a seen right way rather than the rigorous persecution. Now, in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways, not way, but ways. You see, there's a lot of ways that seem right, and you may be positioned through birth, through tradition, or for family connection, or you may have launched out in search of the way through the ways. There's only one way. Remember this now. There's one way. There are not many ways, but the Bible speaks about stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Now, it is a marvelous thing for those who have found the path with the courage to walk their own, where that they will stand on the outer edge of eternity at some point in their future existence with their soul weighed in the balance. I want you to know that the Father has got a persecuted way for you to get into. The Father's got a hated way for you to get into. The Father's got a way that your wife may not necessarily agree with. You may be standing alone among your own family, or your enemies or foes could be those of your own household. Now, why in the world did the Father make it so compelling and so strange? And the Bible said that he's chosen a peculiar people or a purpose people to walk in his path. Stand in the ways. See and ask for the old path, which is the good way. See the way, singular. And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It is a demanding way. It is a hated, despised, tortured, narrow way. It's not a popular way. No one wants to be in a way that is hated, despised, cast down, or looked down upon, or laughed at, or mocked at. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 22, you shall be hated of all nations, or all people, for my name. Now, it may be that your husband, if you are a wife, he may object to your walking in the narrow path. What do you do in a case like this? Choose this day who you will serve. You could be male or female. Because the Bible says, in the kingdom principles, there's neither male nor female, so you must seek your own soul salvation. Your husband will not stand there in your place on the edge of eternity when you stand before the judgment. Vice versa, your wife will not stand there and plead your case when you stand alone on the edge of eternity, for you must stand alone and give an account for even every idle word that you speak. If you have land, house, wife, yea, or a husband, or yea, even children, or yea, even the riches or the cares of this world, and they offset you from the narrow path, or they forbid you to walk or suffer or to approach the narrow path, let nothing detour you on your appointed destiny through hell to get to heaven. You must stand alone. If you're convicted to stand alone, you will be convicted to stand with a few. If by chance You stand with a few, you may perhaps one day stand with many that have stood alone to get to the edge of eternity, where they were judged individually whether they were worthy to enter into the straight gate and the narrow way, into the city and the things that are laid up for them that love and serve him. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has the heart imagined. It's not even entered into the heart of man what is laid up for them that will walk the persecuted, hated, and despised way. You're going to be hated of all nations. You're going to be despised for bringing forth the revelation of the true name. Not the names that seem right. The names that are loved and adorned today that can't be proven back farther than 300 or 400 years at the most. And yet it's the most popular name in Christianity today that has even deceived the very elect who love the praises of men more than they love the praise of the Eternal One. Oh, for filthy lucre or for prestige and honor, I've noticed the actions of men, especially preachers, how they like to hotshot, how they like to be in control, how they like to seem like they think because that people follow them or large crowds appeal to their teaching or seek after their teaching that they must be doing something right, when in truth it is completely the opposite, because the Bible says in the day that the famine is here, it will not be for the wise and the seem right. And for the preachers that are preaching and actually compromising to get a large crowd, it will be a famine for hearing and obeying and standing for the word of our eternal mighty one in truth and righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 6 says, set up the standard. Did you know that stand is a simplification of a standard? And as the old saying goes, if you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You see, it's people that compromise with a lukewarm, a seem-right, or something that appeals to their carnal senses, and without fasting, without praying, without seeking, without honoring, without calling, without serving with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, they fall victim to the way that seems right. They join a large crowd, or at least they join a crowd of like-minded people believing a lie. And you'll be going to hell with all nations that forget the standard that you should have set, which is the standard of repentance. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Peter, standing among the 11 that were appointed apostles, stood and said, men and brethren, this is what you must do. You must repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and then shall you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the good way. This is the way that is right rather than the way that seems right. Well, you see, when we receive the New Testament scriptures, that name, that stone of Acts 4:11 and 12, which it actually encased the great magnanimous name, the hidden name, the honey name, the jewel name, the name of glorious manifestation of salvation. This was a name that was hidden by the deceivers, the Pharisees, and the scribes as they talked the brethren, the believers, even before the time of Yahushua. They called them to forget the name of Yahweh for the name of Baal and the gods associated with Baalism. And when we came to the New Testament era, and then a book of remembrance was written 1,000 years approximately or longer after the resurrection of our Creator, our Savior, Yahushua, when he resurrected, there was not a book of remembrance written by the holy prophet. The letters was confiscated. The epistles were confiscated. They were not published in mass until the 15th century. Can you imagine? He said, well, Pastor, but there was no printing press, and so therefore it was just legible writings on parchment and things of this nature, and so the books were scarce. That is true. I will agree completely. But finally, when we did get the book, it had been altered so drastically. It had been monkeyed with, as the old saying goes. A conspiracy rose up in the Roman camp of the Zeus worshippers. You see, these men that were moved and compelled to join what we call the Christian ranks. And you see, Christian is a misnomer anyway. The word comes from the root word of charisma, which is the god of Sylvia and the ancient pagan gods of the gods of the Hinduism, many-headed gods. The word Christ literally means, in a way, the anointed ones in Sylvia, the teaching of the Hindu religion. And then we could mention other religions as well, and these are some of the words that were borrowed and adapted into the New Testament, such as Lord, Kuros, in Greek. And the Bible says there's many lords, so we cannot be definite. The name of our heavenly creator was surgically removed by the lion translators who translated in error, because they completely translated the name of our creator out of existence. Now, when it came to the old parchment, we call it, or the old testament, or the Tanakh, whatever word you would like to, a book of remembrance, particularly the first five books, but in all of the 66 books, that is, now makes up the compiling of the King James Bible, the name Jesus was not even in the original, and the name Yahweh was not in the original. Now, that's strange, isn't it? The name Jesus was not in the original King James, but neither was Yahweh. But if you look at the beginning in the original 1611 King James Bible, if you will look at the cover page of the New Testament before it introduces the book of Matthew, you will see on the cover page a photograph of the Tetragrammaton in Hebrew of the great, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh. You can't miss it. It is on the cover page of the introduction to the book of Matthew in the original King James. They knew how to write it or post it in letters. That was no surprise, because the original Hebrew, we have them today, ladies and gentlemen, in their originality form, copied verbatim or copied directly out of the ancient text, including a scroll of the Dead Sea, the complete book of Isaiah, where I'm reading that and taking our text tonight, in Isaiah 63:10, go through the gates. Remember, we're talking about there's two gates, one a broad gate and one a narrow gate. Choose this day. Are you committed to stand? What is the obstacle that would keep you? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, when I worked everything out. You'll never work anything out until you stand. And unless you take a stand, things will not change. They will progressively get worse where you cannot see your way clear to stand, and above all, to stand. Because in the end, you will stand, irregardless of wanting to or not. You will have to stand before him and give an account, and you will stand alone, stripped down, naked and bare of all of your traditions, all of your seem right things, all of the things that you imagined, all the things that you tried to comprehend while you were here on your fleshly journey, when you walked out the unction of the Spirit, when you listened to prophets day in and day out preaching the truth, and you rejected it in favor of a more easier way because you did not want to suffer in your stand. Oh, I could be popular. I could be back at the old home church, pastoring. Oh, yes, I was offered many seats of authority in pastorship with the traditional worship centers that I grew up in. But as the scripture said in the book of Jeremiah, stand ye in the way. That's what I did. I began as a young man, 18 years of age. I began to fast. I begin to pray. I begin to seek. I begin to stand and wait on the Heavenly Father. And I went into the caves in the hills of Tennessee. And I laid for days and weeks and months. And the progression turned into years as I waited. And at 23 years of age, I had my first vision and my first appearance before the throne, as I was captured by the power of the Mighty Ones, and I was reluctantly, I was drugged before, practically drugged. Even my spirit was resistant, because I had a terrible dread and a fear was upon me, and my flesh quaked literally on my bones. As Jeremiah said, all my bones shake in the presence of the Eternal One. It is indeed a fearful thing to be scrutinized and looked upon by the awesome eye of the Creator. I'm telling you, you will feel like a piece of silly putty in the hand of someone as powerful and mighty and glorious as the Eternal One. But I was as Joshua, or Yahshua, when he was taken before the throne, and he was given a change of a garment. And my garment was changed from a fleshly nature to a spiritual nature. I had fasted through and broke through the veil of carnality flesh. That's what they told me. That my persistence of standing at the gate or the door and knocking. I didn't wait for the Son of Man to visit and knock at my door. Although he was knocking in a spiritual sense, he was knocking, and I was returning the urge because I had a drawing spirit to draw me nigh unto him, and I drew nigh as I could possibly get without having to face the Eternal One, Yahushua, alone. I feared to be in his presence. And so then there was an accompaniment of two angels that actually carried me into the presence of the throne room. Now, whether I was in body or out, I don't know, but I do know that I was taken before his presence, and I heard wonderful things spoken, and a book was opened in my presence, and the hand of the angel flipped the pages, and they just went one after another, until all the book was consumed by my spirit. And I knew and heard and understood everything that was shown to me in the book. But sadly so, when I awakened on Monday morning, this was a Sunday night experience, and when I awakened on Monday morning, I did not know one thing, could not remember one thing other than the humiliating experience of fear and awe. I could not remember one thing written in the book. I was so sad and so depressed that I actually lay there in my little apartment, alone, sobbing, on the floor, thinking about ending my life. I was never so depressed and alone in all my life. And yet, there was something that was standing beside me that had never been beside me before. And it was faith. I had a dogged determination. Somewhere down deep, there was a dogged, and it's been tried many times in the 40 plus years that I've been pursuing in earnest, courage to one day again stand before the presence of the mighty Eternal One to hear Him say, either, well done, my good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many, enter into the joy. I desperately, I prayerfully, reverently, I seek to hear those words. I stand every day hoping and trusting and praying and agonizing with the narrow path of resistance as I go forth every day working in the vineyards, reaching out through my testimony, doing everything within my power with great men standing behind me. Men that write me letters of encouragement and women that offer me advice, even our sisters, our wise sisters, offer advice. And here I am, almost 70 years of age. We'll soon be caught up, and I'll have to stand before Him as nature goes. My body will not withstand the rigors of this life much longer, and I will soon be off the world scene where I have labored among you for over 50 years in the ministry, and I will stand before the Creator, because it's once appointed. The judgment is certain, and there is no escaping from the flesh death of the flesh man, but the spirit is given by the Creator, and it must go back and face the one with eyes as a flame of fire. John, in His presence in Revelation chapter 1, said, I stand and I fell before Him as a dead man. And He laid His right hand upon me and said, fear not. And I know I could remember the words of the angel that spoke to me in the presence of the Creator. And as He closed the book and handed it back to me, written across the front of the book was letters that I couldn't understand in English, but I knew them instinctively in my natural language, not the one I speak in now, the English, but it was a language that I was associated with before the world was. It was like a pure language, and the heading of the book said, my peace I give unto you. And ladies and gentlemen, that book was placed in my hand, and I left the spirit world, but I couldn't bring, I was not permitted to bring the book back to the flesh world. And yet I know that there is a book. I had it in my hand. It is the book where my name and all of those things which are subliminally, or they have been imprinted upon my soul. And I cannot do anything other than what Jeremiah was appointed to do before the foundation of the world, or before he was formed in his mother's womb. Before Job came forth, he was reminded that he would live to see the face of the Messiah in the latter days. And ladies and gentlemen, here we are looking back 2,000 years approximately since the coming, and we know for certain that we shall all stand before the judgment seat. Malachi 3, verse 2. But who may abide in the day of His coming? Oh, that is my desire. Are you sure that your sins have come under the repentant blood of the great name. You see, you can't get one drop of the blood, so you must get in the name that's got the power to... baptize in the name. So it's not the blood that will be applied to you in the physical, but the blood will cleanse you from all sin through the name that the blood was shed in. And so then the first step is repentance to stand. You must repent. You must actually be broken down, humiliated, have a fear, have a convicted godly sorrow upon your life before you can stand. You must stand before his presence. Second step is a baptism, like I said, in the divine covenant name. That gives you remission or a moving and a pardon. Now, the next step is Mark 12:29. To come under the covenant code of a discipleship, and you will know this by the fruits of the disciples. They will love Yahweh, and they will keep his commandments. The first commandment is love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself, or love your walkers in the common faith. You see, you will not have many neighbors when you get into the truth. They'll all move out of the neighborhood. If they find out who you are and what name you're in, they will actually separate themselves from you. You don't have to worry about them, because they will automatically see that you're called by the name of Yahweh, and they will be afraid of you. Now, that don't mean say that you look like some kind of a three-headed freak. Are you running around with a gun or a .22 and a box of shells, calling on everybody to kill everybody? You're not going to be doing that. You're going to carry the flame of the gospel and the truth and the revelation through repentance and baptism in the divine covenant name that is above every name in the earth, in heaven, and under the heaven, and under the earth. This is the name. This is the name that was set at naught of the builders. Set up a standard toward Zion. Retire. Now, what does that mean? Retire with a standard. Retire from the world that before you set up the standard. What is the standard? To make a covenant with your Creator. To walk upright before him and to fear him and to keep his commandments and to obey him. And to love and fear his name. That's the whole duty of man. Now, what about, people ask me, you know, one of the greatest truths that has ever been put forth as a mark of a true disciple is a standard. Did you know that the house of Israel and their appointed heads and all the tribes, the 12 tribes in Numbers chapter 2, that Yahweh, he actually commanded them to set a standard in front of their camp and to camp exactly where he told them to in the sacred circle? Are you watching for the appointed times to worship? Are you sure that you are as Daniel, who on the appointed times raised his window and prayed? Are you one of those who are in sync with the times, or are you out of time with the pagan, ballistic ways of the heathen? You must study and pray about getting in the correct worship mode. Because you see, your Heavenly Father, who is a busy Father, has a lot to do, will only appear to you at the appointed times to receive your praise and worship. Your name will be watched and guarded. And each time you will have a check mark either for you or against you. And in the day that you stand before him, you will be honored as a covenant keeper or dishonored as a covenant breaker. Many will say to me, in that day haven't we done many wonderful works? And he shall say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Do you want that day to come where you will be standing on the edge of eternity, just ready to go in, and you are refused, and you're rejected as a goat, and you will mingle with the wicked, or make your bed with the wicked and all nations that forget the covenant of our eternal mighty one? Are you going to hear him say, well done, with faith, that you've stood the test, that you've defied mother, father, sister, brother, land, wife, children, or even your own life, to keep the covenant and stand? Or are you going to fold? Remember, the Bible said, in counting the cost of your building, and you are the temple of the Creator. And the Creator must dwell into you, and he must come to you, and he must be satisfied in a clean temple. You can't love the world and love him. You got to choose. He won't come in if you love the world. And even if he does, and you turn back to the world, and you love the deceitfulness of riches, that which is in you will become weak. And the briars and the thorns will spring up, and it'll choke that which was good. It'll choke the very goodness right out of your presence, and the eternal Shekinah will be taken, or will leave your presence. You will be cold, indifferent, separated, miserable. Are you feeling that way tonight? Have you heard the Master's call? Have you laid at his gate and demanded entrance? Have you knocked? Have you sought him early? Have you drawn nigh to him as the commandment, covenant, purpose, principles direct you to do? Are you putting on the whole armor? Are you just halfway dressed into the world and halfway dressed into kingdom principles? You can't serve two masters. You can't be hot or cold at the same time. A fountain does not send forth fresh and salt water at the same time. You must choose this day. You must stand. You must take a stand. You will be tried. You will be tried as gold tried in the fire. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, who's going to be able to abide in the day that's coming, and who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Oh, my. He will be like fire. A refiner's fire. Remember I told you about gold purging, and the dross of imperfection will be burned out of you? You see, everyone he tries with fire. Everyone he loves, he chastens. And the Bible said, do not faint when you're rebuked of him. If you've tried and you haven't measured up, don't faint. Go back. It's the persistent one that will get the door open. Now, let me assure you that you must measure up to the whole principle, the divine principle, and you must be able to put on the whole armor, or you must count the cost before you begin to build. Are you sure? Or are you like some that receive it with joy, but when persecution because of a word, oh yeah, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I had a young man that called me out of Texas 2 or 3 months ago, and he was on fire. I was delighted. He spoke the word faithfully. He vowed. Every word that came out was a vow. I'm going to continue. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn back. And yet, something hinders. Why? Because those that put their hands to the plow and looks back, oh, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. Have you tested it? Have you tried it? Have you given it the fire test? Have you let the Father test you? You want to test another man's doctrine? Test your own. You won't stand for yourself. You certainly won't stand for no one else. You won't lay down your life for yourself. You wouldn't lay it down for your friend. If you can't believe his gospel, you certainly won't believe mine. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't believe in killing the lamb at Passover. That's sacrificing things that you shouldn't do. What do you sacrifice? Do you eat anything at Passover? Well, yeah, I eat unleavened bread and ham. You filthy, ungodly, deceived, self-righteous hypocrite. To roast the ham, swine's flesh, and put that abomination in your mouth and call it an honor when the Bible says it's a disgrace in the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7 said, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. What were they eating before Christ came? Lamb. What did they eat when Christ came? Lamb. What were they eating when Christ left and went back into the heavens? Lamb. What's on your menu? What's on your table? You say, I don't believe in dressing up and getting on and putting them robes on and lighting a torch and going out there and looking up at the moon. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the ancient Israelites went to their sacred circles? Do you know that there's evidence all over the earth where the ancient Israelites gathered on the appointed times in the sacred circle and they worshiped? Do you not know that you're a king? Cannot you practice being a king here upon the earth? Are you not to keep the sacred times, or should you go to the bell box when they gather up on Easter and Christmas, which is coming up, by the way? And everybody loves Halloween. Pastor Buddy, don't get back on them things. Go through Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, you'll see the time gates there. These gates are perfected in a circle. These are the rituals that are taught to induce or to induct into your mind a set of values that will get into your mind and will imprint to such an extent that fire can't burn it and the sword can't kill it. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you going to do in eternity when you stand before him and give an account? When the books are opened, these are the books that are written in the heavenly codes where it takes a minister. The Bible says that he will not reveal any of these hidden truths except he reveal it through the prophets. Oh, I know when a prophet comes, he's not received. I know when a false prophet comes, he's accepted. Christ himself was the greatest prophet that ever walked. John was the greatest prophet that ever walked as a man. John was beheaded for his belief, and Christ was nailed to a tree. Do you expect any more to preach the gospel? Do you expect to be loved and accepted when even two-thirds of Israel, even the house of Israel that is justified to come before him, but they will reject it as the gold tried in the fire? Only one-third will come through the refiner's fire that has stood here, and only a few will get washed in the fuller soap. Now, what was the fuller soap? Well, my mother used to make the lye soap. That's the old-fashioned soap before the days of modern soap and perfumes and things of this nature came along to itch your skin, dry it out, and to get into your pores and to poison your bloodstream gradually, little by little. All of the daily soaps that are used, if it's not a natural soap, and it says natural, 99. What was that ivory soap that used to be natural? And yet it's not. But now fuller soap is a cleansing soap that is 100%, it's sort of like lye soap. And then the Bible speaks about a being washed in the blood. Can you think about a blood covering the soul to hide the sins and the inadequacies of you The one that didn't deserve him to die? The one who he came to die for, who the Bible said was his filthy rags? And yet he came to die for you while you was yet a sinner, to wash you in the floor soap, to refine you in the fire, to try you as gold? And will you stand? Psalms 24:3, who shall ascend into the hill of Yahweh? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Go through the gate and prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people. What standard are you setting? I'm telling you, when I come into your midst, you'll know I'm a Yahweh man. You'll know that I preach the divine covenant name. You know that I'll preach it in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin. I don't use a substitute name. I don't use a lesser name. I use the name. It's the fuller soap name. It's the only name that'll wash away your sins. And if you're not in that name at judgment, you're going to be bare naked without a covering for your sins. And you're going to hear him say, depart from me. Why? Because you was ashamed of me and my name, or me and my prophets. You see, most people don't like the prophets. Well, he's too arrogant. He's too demanding. Well, that's what Elijah was when he told the old leper to come out of Assyria and get down to the old Jordan. And yet the old businessman, he was, he had pride. He demanded that the prophet come up to his river. And ladies and gentlemen, you're not at Burger King when you're in the gospel, and when you're in front of a prophet, you don't have it your way. You have it the way of a prophet who is speaking by the code and the key of the invested language that is placed in his heart to give you the revelation or a promise or a hope or a name that can save you and deliver you in the end time. And then you're going to say, well, when did we see you naked, tired, hungry, or in prison? Zechariah 3:7, thus saith Yahweh, if you walk in my way, if you will keep my charge, then you shall judge my house and shall keep my courts. And I will give you a place to walk among those that stand by. Oh, my heavens above. Those that stand by the holy place. The guardians of the holy grail. The guardians of the revelation of truth. The keepers of the divine covenant name that is hid from the world. Repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of, the promise to, the hope of. But my people said, we will not walk in. We will not walk in. Jeremiah 6:16. Psalms 1:5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It's a separation way. Oh, but I love my wife, Pastor Buddy, and I certainly couldn't give up my wife for that foolish stuff you teach. Glory to God. Shunda. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something. Proverbs 5:5. The foolish shall not stand in the sight of the prophet. And thou hatest the workers of iniquity. It's been better for you not to hear of the old prophet Buddy. The old rejected prophet. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Not accepted by the many, only the few. Those who dare. Those who will put on the armor. Those who will stand with the faithful that stand. You see, even when I'm hated, even when I'm persecuted, even when the people, the majority of people, speak against me, I have those in faith that will stand with me because they know the character and the quality, and I have not, in 51 years, turned back. I have kept my face toward the promised land. I am now at the age where I'm going to have to worship on my staff, leaning for support. But I lay down each night. I had a brother out of Michigan call me today. And he prayed for me, a very humble prayer. And I'm telling you, I felt the sensation of the joy of the Shekinah, of the warm liquid flow of the eternal spirit come down upon me under the anointing of his prayer. It means much. Pray daily for those that hold up the measure of the stick of the house of Israel and the hope of the house of Judah. For the two olive trees, which is the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The symbol of Israel is olive. The symbol of Judah is olive. There is not a fig tree in the midst of the house of Israel. There is not a bramble bush in the house of Israel. Only the olive tree will go back. The grafting in is not olive to fig, but it's olive to olive. Oh, praise the Father for the sheep who are olive and their spiritual nature that will come back and walk in his ways and keep his charge and judge in his house and keep his courts and walk among those that stand by. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7. Now, I've got to end this, and I'll end it in the 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 22, 23, and 24. I will not quote that scripture for you tonight, but I'll give it again to you. I would just like for you to take a little time and turn over there into the eternal coming kingdom. When he comes, this is what's going to be going on. Isaiah 66, 22, 23, and 24. May the Father bless you. And may you stand. If you'd like to write Pastor Buddy tonight, please take my address. It's important how to hear from you. We need your help and support. And just a card or a letter that you just tuned in. You don't even have to send us anything. Send us your love and acknowledgement that you heard the program. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you would like to call me tonight, I'm live on WWCR 5070, and it is the 28th day of November. Time is moving right along, and we are thankful for the 28th day. This is Sunday, the 28th of November. We're coming up on 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. We've got about 4 minutes left to give you our telephone number. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Call me up and give me your name and tell me what you're all about. When I pray tonight, I'll put you on my prayer list, and we go before the Father on the appointed times, and I carry the names of those that write me. I carry their letters, and I offer them up to my Heavenly Father every time that I meet with him on the sacred appointments, and I keep them all. I don't miss any. Praise Allah. Now, area code 423-626-2172. Also, if you would like to email me tonight, you have a computer, you can simply email buddy1, lowercase now, all lowercase letters, buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, buddy1, at centurytale.net. That's buddy1 at centurytale.net. Now, next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern on WWCR Worldwide, I'll be back with part 2 of Stand on the Edge of Eternity. You don't want to miss it. It will tell you how important it is to stand. I love you, and may the Heavenly Father bless you, and may you stand above all things, stand.
Now you're back to learn. That's the flag of the sea. Hurrah, hurrah. I'm a